Welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Broda, and with me is only Austin Tark, but we do got James' notes here, too. Austin, it's Feast Week. Happy Thanksgiving. How we doing?
Fantastic. Yeah. How about we start this podcast on a light note? What is your favorite Thanksgiving dish?
So, did we talk about this last week?
I don't think
so. I think we did. Before the pod last week, but
yeah.
This might be cheating, but I think gravy is the most important part just because you put it on everything. Yeah. If we're talking like the meal, it's got to be mashed potatoes, which does get well with gravy. But I love me some gravy all over the plate on Thanksgiving. I'm very much looking forward to that. What about you?
That is just such a – it's like a hot take answer, but it's spot on because no one would ever say that answer. But you're right. I mean, because I'll probably say stuffing. But you can put gravy on stuffing, you put on your mashed potatoes. I'm looking forward to it.
Gravy goes on my green bean casserole.
Yeah. You can put it, literally anything.
This is quite possible. No, this is my favorite sports week of the year, even more so than March Madness. Just basketball is on all day. We got NFL football Thursday and then college football rivalry week this week. I love it. And I think that as someone who is luckily still invested in a survivor to this point, I am having an impossible time trying to figure what team to pick. Right now, I'm leaning the Cowboys, but injuries are troubling for me. But what's your take? I feel like this is the first week without a bunch of, or at least like more than like two or three, like very, very high spread games where like we got the Bills laying 14 or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, usually it's pretty easy to just who are the Jets playing, who are the Texans playing, fade them. And sure enough, they're playing each other. So that makes it pretty difficult. Same time, Jags are playing the Falcons. So you're right. These tough teams, it's tough to pick on them. I mean, I'm in a position where I don't have the Cowboys, so I'm a little lost. I'm thinking of taking the Patriots as one of them. But I might even end up with a bold choice, such as my best bet this week, which I think we'll get to in a second. But
you're more if you do.
It's time. This is a week where if you get through this week, you're in the home stretch of Survivor. But this week could be an absolute bloodbath and could decide who the winner is.
Very true. Let's get right to it. So James is not. He's not with us. He's still alive.
Rest
he's just
peace.
Not going to with us, but he is. Did he? Oh, he took a best bet loss. See, dude, what were we worried about? We're so beaten.
Do you know his record? Is he 8-2?
8-2-1.
Okay,
that's actually insane. But yeah. There's what 7 weeks left.
What are
I
you?
Believe I am 5-6. We're on a roll. We are on a roll. And then Austin, you are
4-7. Two in a row, baby. Come on.
We are rolling right now, and quite the shame that James has decided not to step up his game with that. But you know, it's just how it goes sometimes, I guess. But very easy to pick on him when he's not here. But he is in first, so let's just start with his best bet to start. And he's got the Bills laying 6 at New Orleans. This is a Thanksgiving game, and. He also has a bet on the over at 46. I'll read his notes to start, and then I'll kick it to you, Austin. James says, he's not a fan of lane 6, such a hostile environment like New Orleans, but injuries to the Saints warrant this line. It sounds like Kamara, Mark Ingram, Teron Armstead are all out. They did not practice Tuesday. Alvin Kamara is officially out at this time. I think that Armstead might actually play, but we shall see. In addition, Ryan Ramczyk is out. Adam Trautman is out for a few weeks. And what he's not saying is they also lost another a rookie O-lineman who had been doing a pretty solid job, Landon Young. He says, with Simeon under center, the Saints have actually had decent offensive outputs, but this is because they've been trailing every game and throwing against prevent D. And now that they're missing running backs and linemen, and they are already deprived of weapons on the outside, I think they will find themselves in too big of a hole. Buffalo is a great front runner. They get the early lead early. All of their wins are by double digits. And then finally, last week, the Saints D was absolutely eviscerated by Hurts' legs. And according to Dable, it sounds like they're going to use Allen's legs more this week. James is also advising a Josh Allen rushing props or an anytime touchdown. And then finally, he says that while Saints D is their strong suit, they have been leaking oil the last couple of games, allowing 23 or more points to everyone. He says that Bills will bounce back and trounce the Saints, get ahead early, and there will be an onslaught of points to come late to push this game over. His notes really talked me into that. I'll say that. Austin, what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I'm on it as well. I mean, I'm not on Bills minus six, but I think I might be talked into it by the end of the week. He mentioned like six offensive players there who will not be going. And we've already seen that this offense has struggled quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. So just losing more offensive linemen, losing Troutman, obviously not having maybe both running backs is going to be a big problem. That's why my like in this game is Saints team total under. I just don't think they're going to be able to get their offense going. I think Buffalo's defense is a lot better than what it did last week. And especially Jonathan Taylor was able to run all over him last week. I don't see the Saints running back which, by the way, you would know, who is the Saints running back now?
I think it's Tony Jones Jr. He's not bad.
I don't see him duplicating Taylor's performance.
Keep sleeping.
Not to mention the Bills. You didn't mention it. He said it in his notes, but they're getting Trey Edmonds back, but also Star Latulé. So their Bills defense should be getting better. Why not lay Bills minus six? Mainly because, like, I still am a believer in the Saints defense. Yeah, they're leaking a little oil in the last couple of games, but this is going to be a hostile environment, especially it's supposed to be Drew Brees night, which I don't really know what that means, but they might be retiring his number or jersey in the stadium. So it's going to be a crazy environment on Thanksgiving. So I don't know if I'm going to get there on Bills minus six, but I certainly am on the team total under, and I certainly get the handicap for the Bills here.
Yeah, I agree. As a partially biased Saints fan, obviously I'm going to be looking for a win, but I could also see just as James is alluding to, like a 30-point Bills blowout. I think he doesn't really say it, but what I think it would be a great look is like a live Bills team total over, where you do see him get up to a 10-0, 14-0 lead, and I think that they won't have much trouble kind of getting past, you know, 31-ish, if that's like the area that you can get. So also, Simeon has been very careless with the ball the last 2 weeks. And so I think that if they are behind, we might see what we saw last week, where he is forced to start gunslinging a little bit, and then we can get those pick sixes that would help that bet too. So I like the pick. Bills minus six and over 46. My best bet. You know what? We not only, I think I made up for 2 weeks ago when I took the Browns, Austin. I take like 2.5 points with the Browns.
And they lost by like 40.
They lost by 40. And then last week, we took the Indianapolis Colts plus 7.5, and they win by 40. And so what are we doing this week, Austin? We're taking the Bucks lane three at Indianapolis. this is a full sell on Colts at their high point. I do agree that, and I alluded to this last week, they're built like Tennessee, to where, you know, if the run game is clicking and they are just able to impose your will on like a defense like they did last week, then they're going to be able to put together very long drives and just kind of kill you. They're not going to be able to run the ball like they did against the Bills this week. So I think that the Bucs run defense is going to cause huge issues. And then when the Colts aren't able to run the ball consistently, then Carson Wentz has to pass. And I'm going to give Carson Wentz credit. I think he's been very, very good this year, but he is prone to make aggressive plays. And honestly, I think the way to beat the Bucs and to score on the Bucs is to kind of put drives together, because I do think that's where their secondary is weakest. But if you're going to allow the Bucs to make plays, especially in the secondary, then I think that's just going to completely eliminate whatever advantage that you have on offense. I'm still not a huge gigantic believer in the Colts secondary. I think everywhere else they're outstanding, and with Tom Brady, I think he's going to be able to pick them apart. So give me the Bucks minus three. I think they win by 10-ish. or so points. Austin, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, I'm with you. Bucks are also one of my likes. You said a lot of things that I was going to say. The one thing you didn't mention, yes, I'm fully on board with you. The Bucks are going to be able to stop this Colts rush attack. I won't say stop, but they'll limit it. Jonathan Taylor would not be able to do what he did last week. But the Bucks are getting Vita Vea back. Bruce Arians said,
that was ridiculous.
Vita Vea is most likely to return this week, which is a very significant piece to this Bucks defensive line.
Huge.
Not to mention, Ndamukong Suh has been playing stellar. He played really good on Monday night. So I really think this defensive line is just playing really well for Tampa Bay. I'm with you. I think the Bucks are going to be able to score. I'm still not a huge buyer into this Colts secondary. I don't think they've really been tested enough in recent weeks. I'll say they had a great performance last week, but like Josh Allen, we saw him struggle. He struggles in the wind. So that's the excuse I'll give for his bad performance there. And it's like, it might not be the best spot in the world considering it's a short week for the Bucks. But at the same time, like they rested players in that game. Like they didn't, most of the guys didn't even play in the fourth. Meanwhile, the Colts are kind of coming off the Super Bowl win. That was a huge win they had last week against Buffalo. So I'm totally on your side. I like the Bucks. I think it's just a total sell high point on this Colts team.
Quick notes from James. He also likes the Bucks -3. So some more agreement there. This is making for a very entertaining podcast, I bet. Colts, he says, the Colts are dependent on the run set the rest of their game. Bucks have the best run D in the NFL. If the Colts don't beat the Bills by true affinity, what's this line? 4.5? Line feels cheap, and I don't have a problem laying 3 here. Bucks -3. Oh, it's a total there. Sorry.
Oh, okay. 52.5.
All right. No real thoughts there.
I would agree.
Bucks kind of play in a high-scoring game, so it's whatever. Austin, we're going to Thanksgiving again.
Let's get fun.
That's one way to call it. You know what, guys? It's going to be in the morning if you're on the West Coast like us, playing your turkey bowl instead of watching this game. Austin, you are taking the Lions giving 3 points. Where's 3.5 right now?
3 points. I would love 3.5, but I don't think that's gone.
It is gone. At home against the Chicago Bears. Can you help me? You got to help me out a little bit here. What's the thought process here?
I got you. Well, first of all, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I've won 2 games in a row, so it's just getting a little easy for me. So I figure let's take the team that hasn't won yet this year just to make it a little more difficult. But no, for real, the handicap here is, so for starters on the Bears side, Fields is out, Dalton is in, which I think is significant to this game. But before we get to the on-field handicap, let's talk about the locker room issues. And I think there's real locker room issues with this Bears team. Nagy appears to be on the very hot seat, as the rumor is, I mean, it's just what the Twitter rumors are saying, is that he's lost his locker room and he may be fired after the game. Not to mention, it's a kind of a dream crusher week for the Bears here. So last week they scored on a 50-yard touchdown with 2 minutes left in the game. They certainly could have gotten down, just stopped down on the 5-yard line, kicked the field goal and won it. But instead they scored. It was a huge play, big momentum play. I understand you got to go for that touchdown, but they end up giving a game-winning drive to Tyler Huntley.
His name's in his notes.
So Huntley ends up leading the game-winning drive. Bears fall to 3-7, which is essentially a dream crusher spot because it eliminates them from the playoffs. If you're 4-6, you might have a better chance, especially in that NFC. So I'm looking at this Bears team, and they feel eliminated from the playoffs. They already don't have their coach. Are they really going to rally behind Andy Dalton? They want this coaching staff fired, so I don't really see an all-in effort from them. And from the Detroit side, I think they have advantages on offense. Swift looked really good last week, and he's been looking good for the last couple of weeks. And Bears are still without Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks, and they're missing other defensive pieces. Eddie Jackson is questionable to play. But they lean on Swift quite a bit, and I think he should set up their offense. And then from their quarterback side, we saw him with Tim Boyle last week, almost beat the Browns. And Tim Boyle really sucks. And the fact that Jared Goff is going to be back this week, if he's injured or not, he absolutely has to be an upgrade. This is a circled game for the Lions, where they just saw the Bears last week lose to Tyler Huntley. And now they get into this opportunity where it's Thanksgiving. They got Goff back. They got a Bears team that's in chaos. This is one of their last most winnable games left on their schedule. I just think that this Lions team is playing too hard against the Bears team that's pretty much lost the locker room and doesn't even have their starting quarterback playing. I just think getting a field goal here is tremendous value, and I think they're going to get their first win.
James agrees with you. He leans the Lions. He says if you can find a 3.5, he likes the Lions. The hook is should be very valuable in a low-scoring game. Now that Dalton's – he said he bet 3.5, good for him. Now that Dalton's starting, he likes a little less. He likes the effort he's been seeing from the Lions with no Khalil Mack or Akeem Hicks. They should be able to continue to run the ball on all downs. And then, this is the Bears lost to former Padres catcher Nick Hundley last week. One of the Lions' last chances to get that illustrious win they're chasing with a difficult schedule coming.
Okay. Am I wrong?
Okay, I'm not going to say you're wrong because I think you make a bunch of good points, but I'm going to make the case for the Bears, and I would want no action on it. I want no part of the Bears. I want no part of the Lions. And just give me a turkey bowl, and I'll watch the final quarter of this game just to see a 10-7 game wrap up. So we're 2 weeks out from the Lions tie, where – and I think you brought this up last week where you said that Mason Rudolph couldn't beat the Lions despite going a full game without being pressured. And that was against the Steelers, who do not really have a great, they're not bad on the run, they're a line, but they're pretty bad in pass protection. And I don't think that the Lions are going to be able to make Andy Dalton's day hard enough against what's once again, isn't a great Chicago Bears O-line. So I feel like that's kind of comparable there. The Lions on offense doesn't really scare me. I mean, it's Jared Goff at the end of the day. And I have at least seen the Bears make plays on defense. So what's keeping me off this game is all the Nagy stuff, because I'm not sure that there's that huge of a drop off from Justin Fields to Andy Dalton. So like, I think it's a pretty lateral move there. And Andy Dalton looked pretty good last week. I mean, like completion percentage over or below 50, but he was taking shots downfield. And honestly, at the end of the game, they really just scored too quickly. It's tough. Three makes sense. Like I expect it to be a close game. Like I wouldn't be shocked if Dan Campbell goes for two at the end of the game and either loses by one or wins by one. Do you know what I mean? And
love that.
I bet. There's some lawn mowing going on behind me. Can you hear that?
A little bit. Not too bad. I think you'll be all right.
I think the Bears' talent level just might be a little too high. Is Allen Robinson going to play?
I don't think so. No.
No. Okay. I'm gonna lay it with the Bears and Pickhams, but that's about it. This is my final point. I forgot to mention this. We see the Lions like go all out in these close games, and then they just drop. Like they just like will like lay random stinkers after them after having chances to win. And with what happened with the Browns, who are like, I mean, the Browns are in a world of trouble right now just with how they've been playing. But I think that that's like a performance that we might see a letdown spot, especially on a short week.
So. Maybe, but my pushback to that is like, how all in can you really go when you have Tim Boyle in at quarterback? Like this would be the all in game when you get Goff back. I mean, you could call it all in because they almost won, but I don't know. I just think this has to be the week. I can't wait to fade them next week. Who are they playing? Vikings? Like Vikings will murder them next week after they get this win. But
like you have Tim Boyle playing and you're in that game. Like that's got it. And then like you only end up losing by three. And didn't they score or didn't they have the ball late in the game to like kind of like create a drive and it just didn't happen?
They did have a chance. Yeah, they had multiple.
I didn't watch a second of that game. Just I didn't want to insult my eyes that in that way. But oh no, I don't hate it. It's you're getting 3.5 of the home dog and like a fun spot on great Thanksgiving. So you're gonna have a hard time trying to find like a whole lot of disagreement with me there, but I mean Bears, I guess.
One prop bet I also have on the other side: David Montgomery rushing yards. Detroit's given up the most rushing yards in the league the last 4 weeks. If there's any weapon that scares me on the Chicago side, it's him. Not to mention he's just getting a lot of touches since he's returned. So I'm expecting a solid day out of him. I bet his number would be around 78 or so. But I don't hate that. I bet he has a really good day.
Any thoughts on the total at 41?
I don't know if it's low enough.
I was thinking. I mean, I think you just made a great point. So I think this game either goes soaring over the total, like I'm thinking like 65 points, or we get like a 17-10 game where it's just really vanilla offense and David Montgomery's just toting the rock the full game. And either that or Nagy goes, screw it. Like, this is my last game, and he's just going to get as creative as possible. Just kind of keep them in the game, I guess. But I don't know. Should be an interesting game for sure. Moving on. Actually, just to recap best bets, James loves the Bills -6. Also bet over 46 in that game. And for me, it's the Bucks -3 at Indianapolis. And Austin, your best bet is?
Lions +3.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, took Texans last week.
That's true. And the Texans won.
Yep.
I was going to say dominated, but the box score would not necessarily agree with that. But the Texans won that game by a lot of points.
Yep.
That was a fun one. I was like no sweat, too. I never really had any like worry that Tennessee was going to get back in that game.
Yep.
But we do have a sponsor, and their name is Anchor. All right. Thank you to Anchor. We have one Thanksgiving game left, and it is the Las Vegas Raiders getting I'm looking at bet online right now, and it says +9, -135. That's just teaser protection, which is not shocking.
Seeing -7, -120, Cowboys.
All right, so we'll call it 7.5?
Sure.
Raiders getting 7.5 on the road at Jerry's World, the Cowboys. Total is 51.5. No Henry Ruggs has really affected this offense, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that what it is, or is it just like a flat 3 weeks where so much distracting things has happened all season long that like so many non-football things from I'm not gonna call this a distraction. I mean, like, good for the guy for coming out, but like even Carl Nassib, like that's just more non-football things people are asking you. And then we've got the John Gruden stuff. And then, you know, there's a couple weeks go by and they look good. And then we got Henry Ruggs stuff. And like, there's so many things to think about that just aren't football. And I'm sure.
Damon Arnett, two weeks ago.
Yeah. And that, goodness gracious, this game.
Yeah. No, I totally am with you. I mean, I just think it's so many things just bubbling over and eventually it just has to flow. Is that a phrase? Because you know, when you're like cooking something, it bubbles over and just goes over the pot. I mean, there's just too many problems in that pot.
I mean, it sounded pretty good. I think you might be onto something.
But I think the real takeaway, I mean, their offense has really struggled, and I still struggle to pronounce his name, Siciliano. I don't know who their coach's name is, but it's like how eligible is he for this position? Like how effectively, like, can he really turn around this offense? And like, could Gruden? Probably. But he's not there. And I don't know if this offense can turn it around without a deep ball threat. Did Deshaun Jackson do anything last week? Probably not. This Raiders offense is a mess, and looking at this game, it does feel like a lot of points. Like if we are really getting 7.5, like I kind of want to take the Raiders, but it's tough for me to trust them considering how poor this offense has been. And then I look at this Dallas offense and I'm seeing a lot of injuries on their side of the ball. I mean, they don't have Amari Cooper. He has COVID. They don't have CeeDee Lamb. It's weird. He practiced, but you're allowed to practice with a concussion, but you still got to get cleared by the neurologist. I've heard that he's not going to play. And then Zeke is also a little banged up. He's most likely to play, but we have a game here where two offenses that aren't really impressing me. Impressing me as of last week because of Dallas, which is kind of why I think James, one of his likes was the under in this game.
Yes, it is. You want me to hit that right now?
Yeah, I could read it.
Go for it.
So he looks at the Raiders last 3 weeks, how he's been hitting. The Raiders have scored 16, 14, and 13 points just without Ruggs, and that's against average at best defenses. Cowboys now down the receiver one and two. And then pretty much said everything I said. Unless the Raiders cook up a new scheme or way to attack downfield, I just don't think they get to 20. There's many more avenues for Cowboys getting to 30 unless Carr is very loose with the ball, gets that opportune defense. I think that's his argument for possibly taking the Cowboys spread. I don't know.
Yeah, he means Raiders.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm on the underside just because I see these offenses struggling. I don't see this Raiders offense turning around, flipping the switch, especially on a short week, just can figure it out just all of a sudden. And this Cowboys receiving corps is just too injured and banged up.
Was last week a dream, like kind of like a dream crushing loss for the Raiders? Like, was that the realization that they're just not doing anything this year? Because that's my worry.
I think it would be maybe this week, but at the same time, that AFC picture is so tight. But like, they're still technically, they're only a game back of the playoffs.
That's true. So maybe not.
Yeah. But I would argue that it's this week.
Yeah.
And they've now lost every game since Ruggs.
Yeah. They're in trouble. And so I lean Cowboys. Like I said, it's looking more and more likely this will be my survivor pick of the week, but, I also think I lean over. I just think Tyron Smith matters because last week, the replacement left tackle just got eaten alive by Chris Jones. And now that Tyron Smith is back, while you do face a comparable, honestly, probably a better D-line in the Raiders, I think that getting him back is just like a huge trickle-down effect that, you know, your offensive linemen move back to their normal spots and him being, I mean, he's probably one of the best pass protectors ever. I think that's just going to be able to give Dak a little more time. He's going to be able to play in control. And they got Michael Gallup back last weekend. He did play, right?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So, and no CD, no Amari Cooper. That's going to be huge. And I'm sure their offense is not going to be as explosive as it looked 2 weeks ago. But, I just watched the Raiders get a tackle for a loss and then give up like a 9-yard run, and where Joe Mixon could have ran for probably 20 more yards and said he would just trip in the turf. And he must have done that like 6 times with two running backs as talented as Zeke and Tony Pollard. I think that the Cowboys are just kind of going to be able to move the ball a little bit. I do share your concerns about the Raiders offense, which is probably why it's just a lean for me. I think I'd look at the Cowboys team total over. I'm not sure that the Raiders necessarily they feel like they're in disarray right now. And so I do think that if I had to make a bet on any unit in this game, it'd be the Cowboys offense. So
I think that's fair. Well, one other Cowboys. Bet. I want to add one bet. Tony Pollard rushing props. As yes. I mentioned, Zeke is banged up. I would assume he most likely plays, but I would assume in a little more of a limited role, especially on a short week. And then with the Cowboys having possibly their receiver one and receiver two out, you would expect them to rely on the run game a little bit more, especially against a Raiders rush G that ranks 21st in the NFL. So Pollard props, Chaz mentioned carries, which I don't hate that play. But I also just going to look at rushing yards, cause I think we might get a lower total just considering that he splits his carries with Zeke. I think that's a good look.
I'll see if I can find like a carries line right now. Let's see, it's Dallas, Oakland, bad radio. Also, one more thing, just because we were kind of talking props. I think we might see Dalton Schultz get involved a little bit more, just because, you know, maybe they are running the ball more. They run a little bit more play action and, get the tight end open in the flat a little bit. So, really quick, I'm not seeing anything right now for a Tony Pollard rushing prop. I'm looking at over 45.5 for Zeke, 62.5.
I like that.
Derek maybe Carr more. Over 6.5. Interesting.
How about the under 62.5 on Zeke? I like that.
Yeah, that's not a bad look.
Seems like a big number.
Let's see. I had like another player prop for this game. Oh, I know. Austin, you're gonna love to hear this one. I think Darren Waller is going to see an increase in targets. So normally, just as a tight end, he's normally got either a safety or a linebacker on him. Because Micah Parsons has just been a pass rushing fiend. I mean, he's their best athlete on the field. Also think he's been really good in coverage too. I just think that we're going to see Darren Waller on weaker coverage linebackers or safeties, and I think that he might be able to eat and break out a couple of plays. If the Raiders are going to kind of keep it closer in this game, I think that Darren Waller is going to have a hell of a game. He's just going to play like Superman. So that's kind of not necessarily like a you should absolutely bet Darren Waller kind of props thing, but just something.
No, I like that.
Mind. Yeah.
Especially since Ruggs has been out, he's had two of his best performances this season besides week one in the last three games. So I like that look.
All right, Sunday, the Tennessee Titans off a truly embarrassing loss. And
who could have called it?
Certainly not us. But that being said, a quick little funeral procession for our Ryan Tannehill MVP tickets, 4 interceptions against the Titans. Not exactly MVP material.
I would agree.
But,
can I give you one more fact about that Tannehill? He leads the league in interceptions right now.
Hell yeah. Hey, 2 second. Patrick Mahomes. He's in great company. Tennessee is getting 6.5. James is a like on Tennessee. I'm pretty impartial here. I'll start with James' stuff. He says he bet Titans +6. In parentheses, he put thumb. I'm glad he's finally figuring it out. He doesn't understand Pat's money. Titans injuries are nothing new. If you ever wanted to back the Titans, it's in this spot as an underdog. Vrabel, 17-9 ATS as a dog, 14-19 ATS as a favorite. As a dog of 4 or more, wow. Mike Vrabel is 11-1 against the spread, including 4-0 this year on the spread and the money line. Every single one of Tennessee's losses have come as a favorite this season. Vrabel is also 2-0 against his former teacher in Bill Belichick in their 2 meetings, dogs in both of those games. The lack of weapons scares me, but I think we can count on the pass rush to disrupt Mac Jones and create some turnovers. The loss to the Texans while the pass have been world beaters creates a whole lot of value here. The Titans outgained the Texans 420-190 last week, but they lost the turnover battle 5-0. And then, so due for positive regression, sprinkle money line, think this will be a low scoring game. I agree with all those points. I was kind of leaning Patriots, so that definitely took me on to Tennessee. My worry here is that I think that the Patriots secondary just might be able to overwhelm Tennessee, especially if AJ Brown doesn't play. JC Jackson has just been absolutely on a whatever is better than a tear because he's been doing it. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts getting Defensive Player of the Year votes, but is this just the Dontrell Hilliard game where he runs all over the Patriots?
I doubt it. For me, it's, I mean, it's clearly valuable on this number, but like when I think of Bill, like he's able to take advantage of when he's able to spot in on your weaknesses. And if the Titans have no receivers in this game, like this is a game where Belichick's just going to dominate the Tennessee. I mean, Tannehill is throwing so many interceptions right now and he's forcing the ball. Isn't that kind of exactly the Patriots something they can take advantage of? It's a pass for me. I mean, I certainly like, I probably will take Tennessee and pick 'em leagues just because I think it is too many points. I do love this team in this spot. I love taking them in a big underdog role, but I just like, I have so much to learn still about this Patriots team. I mean, I will say that they are off a dominating win against the Falcons last week, but I mean, that Falcons team's horrendous. And they did have a pick 6 to end the game as well to make it look even a little bit bigger. But I think before that, they'd scored like 19 points for the entire game. So it's not like this Patriots offense is still world beaters. Which kind of makes me think, what about the under?
Isn't this just the spot we always look for, though?
For the Titans?
The team off embarrassing lot. Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm fully with you. Is my host dying?
a couple more funeral processions coming. Holy cow, what's that?
All right, I'll take over. I'm with you. This is the type of spot. And I like what James said about having Vrabel. I mean, this is what Vrabel does. He loves being in this kind of underdog role. And yeah, he's 2-0 against him. I remember the playoff game very well. And this does feel like too much, especially for a Patriots offense that hasn't quite, I'd say, proven itself. I mean, they've looked very good in the last 4 weeks. I'm impressed with the way Mac Jones looks, but I don't know if their offense has quite looked good enough that they should be favored by 6.5 here against the team that's in first place in the AFC, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, that actually is a crazy thing to say. I'm better. I'm alive. I think we cover Tennessee. It's if this gets to 7, are you betting Tennessee?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Eagles at the Giants. Giants
at home. You skipped one. Jets Texans.
I did. All right. New York Jets at the Houston Texans. The Jets are getting 2.5 on the road. Total is 44.5. This might be the ugliest teaser ever.
Oh, my God. You're going to do it?
Well, no. But, I mean, like, it's certainly in the range. No, goodness gracious, no. That being said, can the Texans beat a team by 9 points?
No, God, no. Can they beat a team by 2.5? Why are they favored in this game? I mean, my handicap is I cannot believe that Houston's favored in this game. We're getting the Jets with Zach Wilson's in. Flacco joins the team, and he brings COVID into the facility. First of all, it's hilarious that the Jets signed a quarterback who's unvaxxed. So Flacco also got Mike White to get COVID. So both of them are out this week. And Zach Wilson has to be a plus over Flacco. So I'm okay, even though he's missed quite a few weeks. And I look at this Jets defense, and they have been getting pretty decimated, but they've faced pretty good offenses. They faced the Pats, Indy, and Bills in the recent weeks, and they've all put up over 500 yards on them. But now they're going to face a Houston offense that ranks 29th per play, 26th per pass. This Houston team is really bad, and they should not be laying 3 to anyone. And not to mention, this is kind of a total hangover spot for them. I mean, they just got their first win of the year, except for the first week of the season. So, I mean, this is a total letdown game for them after they just had a heroic win against a division rival. I think Jets are definitely the side.
Yeah, this isn't for me. The Jets Stevens has been utterly horrendous. That's supposed to be Saleh's thing, which is a little worrisome. But now, is Zach Wilson going to provide an upgrade versus what the other two have been doing?
I mean, can he be a downgrade?
That is an excellent question. I don't think so. Man, what's the total on this? Total is 44.5. That feels a touch high, but these defenses are just so bad that I've got no real faith there. If the Jets do win this game, I do think we see a bunch of like Zach Wilson bombs, but I mean, maybe the Jets stick to kind of the dink and dunk short passing that has kind of at least kept them competitive against the Colts a couple weeks ago when Mike White balled, or is that Flacco?
I think it was White.
Okay.
Well, Colts, it was, I think Tyler Johnson came in.
The old UAB quarterback?
Yeah. I don't know. There's been a lot of quarterbacks. You're in a rough spot. Oh, not Tyler. Josh Johnson.
Josh. Oh, yes. You're right. Yeah. I don't know. This is a toilet bowl. We get like 3 of these a year. They're normally fun. I feel like there's actually, I feel like there's always a bunch of points in these games just because like the defense is so much worse than like what's being shown. So maybe the over is the look here.
I don't know. I kind
of, that's a very anecdotal thing where I feel like it's just a bunch of shootouts, but,
I kind of might take – I'm not going to take anything. But, I mean, the Texans haven't scored more than 22 points all season. They hit their high last week. So, in a game where they're projected to score 23, tough to back them going over when they haven't done it once this season. But I want no part of it.
Real quick, I'll give James his notes. He asked a similar question to you. How are the Texans favored over anyone outside of maybe Detroit? The Jets are a better team with a better coach. Don't know what line is going to do with Wilson starting over Flacco. Texans outgained. Yeah, we said that. See the scoreboard. Jets should have beaten the Dolphins, or at least had a chance to win at the end. Yeah. If three isn't available, don't bother with the spread. Highly volatile game. Could see the Jets losing by 30 or winning by 30. But he does say they're winning.
Nice.
All right. Well, you heard it from James. They're winning. Moving on. Let's talk to a good game. Nope, not getting that either. The Eagles, lane 3 at the New York Giants. Total is 46. Austin, I'll kick to you to start. What are your thoughts on this game?
It's a pass for me. I mean, I watched that Monday Night Football game, and I immediately wanted to take the Eagles just because I thought that Giants team looked so bad. That offense looks horrendous. And then they end up firing Jason Garrett, which kudos to them. I kind of respect that move. He was not – I mean, when you have a guy like Kenny Golladay, who you paid for on your team, who still hasn't done anything, you have to be able to figure out how to use these pieces on offense. So I kind of respect the move. Probably just starting to build the grave for Joe Judge, who's about to be most likely canned after this year.
My spider senses are tingling.
Yeah. But does the have a positive effect on this offense, putting in Freddie Kitchens instead of Jason Garrett this week, possibly. So I'm going to pass on the game. I have been super impressed with this Eagles team. Their offense in the last couple of weeks is rolling, and it's mainly because their offensive line, they have been giving Hurts time. They're giving him the ability to scramble. They're running the football tremendous. So I probably lean the Eagles way. I mean, I might use them for Survivor, but for the most part, this game's going to be a pass for me.
I like the over. This is something I'm going to bet. I think over 46 is a good number. The Eagles have been on a tear offensively, as you mentioned, and Hurst has been pretty solid throwing the rock. We just watched the Giants or the Bucks put on a show against the Giants, and I'm granted the Bucks offense is still very far superior to the Eagles offense, but I do think that the Eagles are going to be able to move the ball very, very easily. I think we might see, like, you know, the fired head coach effect, except with the Giants offense this week. So I think we might get some good offensive output this week. And I mean, we did mention this a little bit last week, but the Giants are just getting healthier, and Saquon did look very, very bad last week, but the O-line's been good. Daniel Jones, the way he plays, just kind of like it's plays towards the over, where like he throws it downfield, he takes a bunch of sacks, and he fumbles the ball and throws picks. So I think this like it has the ingredients. I am kind of back into Freddie Kitchens play calling in this game, which isn't necessarily my favorite thing ever, but
can it be worse?
This is a bet for me. Over 46 and the Eagles Giants.
I like that look.
James says he leans Giants. The market is becoming too high on the Eagles. The Giants suck, but 2 weeks ago this game is probably closer to a pick. Too much credit given to the Eagles for crapping on depleted Saints and a bad Broncos team. Jason Garrett gone has to be some sort of upgrade. LOL. Yeah, that's reasonable. Oh, no. I think the Giants are just a bad team. I think they're much closer to the Texans, Jets, Jags group than, say, it's like a below-average team, like the football team in the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Moving on to already talked Bucks Colts. Go Bucks. The Falcons. Austin. The Atlanta Falcons are laying 1.5 on the road at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Totals at 46. And you have a like on the Falcons. Talk to me. Why are the Falcons winning this game?
It is my fifth like. I'm not.
What did you write on the our little Google Doc here?
I wrote "fuck it, Falcons" because it's kind of like a gun to my head play. But at the same time, I do like them. I mean, this Falcons team. Don't get me wrong. I think they suck, but the Jags are really bad, and the Falcons beat up on bad teams. They've done it all year. Their only wins are against poor opponents. So this is a game where I like to back them, and they're getting some help back, which crazy enough, I want to take the Falcons because they're getting Cordarrelle Patterson back, but he does give this offense life, especially when they don't have Calvin. They don't have Calvin Ridley. They don't have much other offensive talent. So getting Cordarrelle Patterson back in this game, I think is significant, especially considering the last 2 weeks he's been out. They played Dallas and they played the Pats last week, and they put up 3 points combined in the last two games without Cordarrelle Patterson in there. So I do think it's significant to get him back in there. And then on the Jags side, I'm still not impressed with this team. Their defense, it got rolled on last week by the Niners, and their offense doesn't look much better. They really only have one playmaker outside of James Robinson, and that would be Jamal Agnew. And he's out for the season now after last week. I just think Falcons are the better team here. They beat up on bad opponents. This is kind of just the games that they win. So it's an ugly one, but I do think the Falcons are the right side.
All right. I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to bet on the Jags. I don't necessarily want to bet on the Falcons too. James has a bet on the under at 47, which is kind of interesting. That being said, I think we have seen the Falcons put up points on, I mean, even like good defenses like the Saints, although they did just get shut out last week. Cordarrelle Patterson, I agree that he kind of unlocks some like barren playmaking that the Falcons kind of need. And the Jags have just been utterly incompetent on offense. So,
I like that he added here that the Falcons have extra 4 days of prep, which is an advantage in a dog shit game here.
Yeah, I'd agree. And what do you think of Arthur Smith?
Not exactly impressed. I was expecting a whole lot more. I was expecting Kyle Pitts to be opened up, but there's only so much you can do when Chaz calls for your quarterback's death in week two and you lose your star receiver in the middle of the season. I mean, there's just not a whole lot that offense has, especially when he's coming from having Derrick Henry as your star running back. And then now you have a receiver, kick returner, running back as your running back.
Hey, dude, hey, I don't agree about Mike Davis. I was going to say Mike Smith.
Been awful. Yeah, he's been very horrible. Bad.
People tweeted pictures of his, like, incredibly ripped quads way too much for him to be this bad. It's stupid. I you know what? I actually kind of like Falcons. I'm kind of getting talked into it about it a little bit.
God, there's a lot of 2-point spreads this week. We got another one now.
All of them are like at or around field goal. Very, very tough. And we're going to get another one when we go to Miami, where the Dolphins are hosting the Panthers. Panthers are 2.5-point road favorites, and the total is at 41.5. Is Cam back? I think he's back.
Yeah, would have won last week if he was back.
That's true. Had a good fantasy game. Couple of rushing touchdowns. But I'll start with James. He likes Carolina -2. He bet Panthers -1. Good for him. He goes, he is not a Cam supporter by any means, but I did like what I saw first week back with him starting. With another week, I think the offense takes another step forward. Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore are finally getting incorporated again. Christian McCaffrey looks great. The Dolphins are riding high after a 3-game win streak. Taking a look at those 3 games, he says. Outgained by the Texans, they forced 4 turnovers, including one in the red zone. He called it the NFL Cheez-It Bowl. The Ravens, they dominated. Still fortunate, though. A fumble 6, +2 in turnovers. 1 turnover forced in the red zone. And Justin Tucker missed a field goal. Against the Jets, they allowed 7 yards per play to Joe Flacco. And there was another red zone takeaway with 2 missed field goals. For that 3-game period, that is 7 takeaways, 3 missed field goals, and 3 takeaways in the red zone. While D has been playing well, it has been helped by an incredible amount of turnover luck or just kickers sucking. Finally, the Carolina needs this game with a ridiculous schedule to close if they want any shot at the playoffs. Kill a Cam comes to South Beach and kills some Dolphins and wears a dolphin skin hat post-game presser. I can see it. It might be illegal, but I can see it.
I like that handicap.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. He needs to take more notes like this. Goodness gracious. Granted, I'm a little underprepared today, so I can't talk. But I agree. I think that just as he kind of acclimates a little bit more, I think we're just kind of seeing pre-COVID Cam Newton from last year more so than post-COVID Cam Newton. And I think that just with, if you can get your really good receivers like DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, like the ball in space, which Sam Darnold just had a possible time doing, I think your offense is going to score points. And the D line is still very good. And I think that the secondary, while it struggled a little bit last week, I think that there's just so much talent there that ultimately talent wins out. Tua's good. I like, he's been overall fairly impressive. I also have a like on Panthers minus 2.5. My one worry here is that Tua just kind of finds a rhythm. And because this year and for his career just overall, when he does find a rhythm, he normally succeeds. And while that might be like a, yeah, no shit, of course, that's just how it goes. But I think that there's a lot of talent in receiver for the Dolphins. And Tua's rolling. I think the Dolphins score enough points to kind of keep it close. This is an ultimate coin flip game for me. This was my fifth leg. So, Austin, what are your thoughts?
I don't have much to add. I think everything's been said. I kind of like fading Miami after that three-game stretch there. That's just not that impressive. Although I will say they are somehow back in the playoff picture, especially because they have some very winnable games ahead with Giants and Jets on deck. So if they somehow win this, they have 7-7 looking at them in a couple weeks.
Wow. That's actually very – they're acting the schedule super easy. Because they already played the Bills twice too, right?
Yeah, well, they play Saints, Titans, Pats to end the year.
Pats?
Yeah. Oh, no, at home. At home, it's Pats.
Ooh, they – Bill Belichick does struggle in that game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to Cincinnati. We are on to Cincinnati, Austin, where the Bengals are laying 4.5. Total is at 45. And the Steelers are plus 175 on the money line. I like the Steelers here, so I'll start. Seems also Lane's pit. But they get TJ Watt back. Minkah Fitzpatrick will be back from COVID. And I think the offense is good performance in moving the ball last week, but I'm going to put it this way. I trust the Pittsburgh offense in between the 5-yard lines, because once they got it down to the goal line, that was just horrendous football. But everything else, they're able to move the ball really well. Ben was able to get his talented guys on the bottom of the base, so they were able to make plays with their legs. And I mean, it's Mike Tomlin as a dog. And I think that this Cincinnati Bengals team is still very overvalued. Just Zach Taylor is not a good play caller. I don't think he's a great coach. And it's just so uncreative play calling. Every single, like, first down, it was a run followed by another run. And then it's 3rd and 7 or like 3rd and 5. And then you need Joe Burrow to, you know, make a play. They had so many penalties given, so many first downs given by penalties too last week. And that was against a really an Oakland Raiders team that they also had a pick six at the end that made that game look a little bit uglier than it actually was. Granted, they put together a lot of very long drives that where they were able to move the ball pretty easily. But I'm more so attributing that to a poor defensive effort more so than like good offensive scheming. So I think picking 4.5 is way too much. And so I do think the Steelers win this game too. Steelers are not as bad as I thought they'd be. I think we're getting the undervalued Steelers and an overvalued Bengals. Austin, curious what your thoughts are.
I'm pretty mixed on this game. My pushback to your points are, I mean, could you attribute the Steelers, They played really bad last week defensively. Herbert and that Chargers offense just picked them apart. And I think the Bengals, I hear you on Zach Taylor's points. I think the Bengals have a similar offensive setup, just being that they have multiple receivers. They got a strong quarterback. I think the Bengals can move the ball on them. Now, I do think it is big that Fitzpatrick's back, Watt's back, and you didn't mention Joe Hayden will also be back. So three significant defensive pieces to add back to the Steelers defense. This game's going to be a pass for me. I will say I looked at the box score of the first matchup they played, and the Bengals won this game 24-10. And it was actually a much closer, it should have been a much closer game than that. The Steelers won the total yards per play and total yards, actually not yards per play, but they won the total yards battle. Bengals just had a couple big plays and just Steelers were just couldn't keep up. But I think this game will be closer, and I do think that there's value at 4.5. I will say, have you seen this schedule in front of the Steelers after this game? I would be shocked if they made the playoffs. They follow this game with Ravens, Vikings, Titans, Chiefs, Browns, Ravens. I mean, we're looking at a Steelers team here that they could have 5 wins. They might not be a favorite for the rest of this season, which is just kind of mind-boggling. So I don't know what to tell you for that, but
they're only a game and a half back of first. I mean, like I feel like we harp on the Ravens for not being as good as their record would indicate. And I'd be willing to hear arguments that the Bengals are good, because I do think there's a lot of talent on that team. And then, I mean, the Browns are browning right now, where it just looks like a mess on offense with all this Baker stuff. He just has been very good.
But I mean, this Steelers team, it's just, I can't quite buy into it. Just the fact that, like, they barely beat the Bears just a couple weeks ago. Then they tied to the Lions. And then last game, like, yeah, it was an impressive 4-point loss. They should have gotten killed in that game. I mean, I am a thankful Steelers 6.5 ticket, because they were down 27-10, and I thought the game was over. They had a very fortunate block punt to get them back in that game. I can't get on the Steelers side yet.
That's fair. I think ultimately the argument for me comes down to, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway from last week was how poorly the defense played when, I mean, 3 of probably their 5 best defensive players all didn't play, and now they're all playing this week.
True.
And I like Cam Hayward's there, and, you know, and like, what a game from him. He was a monster in the fourth quarter. But, I don't know. I think 4.5 is just too much. It's in like a divisional game, and it's Tomlin too. Yeah. So you know, they're going to be up for this. I have no worries thinking they keep it close. I have more worries that the Bengals are closer to a blowout team than what I think right now. So that's really where my lone worry is that Burrow just hits Jamar Chase for like 360-yard bombs, which I would like to bring up. Earlier in the season, when they did seem like an absolute freight train, that's how they were scoring all those points. It was just like, I mean, it's not necessarily fluky, but, you know, plays that you can't necessarily depend on against good defenses to kind of create most of your offense, you know, like the 50-yard touchdowns. So I think they just might have a harder time stringing together the drives they put together last week in this week. So. Pick was 4.5. James said much of the same stuff. It was one of his main points was that he doesn't think that a 7-point swing from Pitt laying 3 at home to now getting 4 points on the road is very warranted in the market, which that's a fair point. I think the Bengals deserve a huge, huge upgrade, especially from what we all thought of them week one or before the season. But moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers at Denver Broncos. Broncos getting 3 at home. Wow. I did not know that. The total is 47.5. Are you buying into the Chargers after Sunday night? Are you someone who thinks you've already bought in?
No, I can't possibly buy into this Chargers team. I mean, it was so Chargers, their performance last week, just as they let the Steelers back into that game. I mean, I couldn't believe that game was over, and it was like, oh my God, this is typical Chargers. They're going to lose this game. I will say that offense was outstanding, and they played really good last week. And they might've only won by 4, but as I said, in the last game, they dominated that game. And which leaves me to say, like, I don't have an opinion on this game, but why do the Chargers not just roll here? I mean, their offense looks very good. This Denver team still doesn't impress me. Are they have a bye, Denver?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, I guess that's important. And the fact that Denver does play them pretty tough, especially in Mile High.
Getting 3 is also
Yeah, I'm looking at 2.5 here, but if it's 3-2, that starts getting to Denver range. It's a pass for me. As we mentioned this at the beginning of the show, we both feel like we always get Charger games wrong.
The Broncos are also in that category. Yes. For me too.
I'm just going to pass.
Yeah, I agree. The Broncos are going to be able to run the ball here, and that's the Melvin Gordon revenge game. Come on.
Whoa, I didn't even think about that. Okay.
But is he still? I have no idea if he's even on the team.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's been playing pretty well, actually. Javonte Williams is also playing a lot, but I forgot about that. But he played him last year, didn't he?
Yeah, that's kind of the joke. Yeah. James bet the Chargers -2.5. He says he just leans Chargers. He says Denver blows. They still have cluster injuries at linebacker. The Chargers have punted like twice in 3 games. The Chargers D worries me, especially in run D, but I don't know how Denver gets stops. He leans to the over because Denver might be able to get theirs too. I think that Denver kind of has the ingredients to stop the Chargers. I mean, they have a great stable of corners who are great in man coverage. Patrick Surtain has been incredible this year. It's just kind of unfortunate that he's overshadowed by Parsons. But Herbert just might be too good. So, I don't know. Nothing for me here. I lean Broncos, but what do I know about the Denver Broncos? The Minnesota Vikings traveling to San Francisco, where the Niners are a juiced 3, with looking like -125. Just teaser protection. And the total is at 48.5. Austin.
I got a bet here.
You do have a bet here.
I got the over.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
This number's been hanging around 3 all week. I probably lean the Vikings way, just considering they're getting a field goal. But I like the over mainly because, well, one, I look at this Niners team and they're having very impressive, just dominating drives to play keep away with their ground game. And they did against the Jags, they did against the Rams. And at a certain point, I'm thinking like, well, they can't like do this forever. But then I look at this spot here and I don't see why they can't run all over Minnesota as well. Vikings ranked 26th in the league in rush defense. So I think San Francisco is going to have success on the ground, which is going to open up their pass game, which is going to have their offense scoring. And then at the same time, I look at this Minnesota team and this offense is clicking. They play against the 49ers secondary. They can absolutely be beaten. A secondary that also hasn't really been tested in many weeks. If you ignore that performance from Stafford, that really bad performance that he played 2 weeks ago, they really haven't been tested in quite a bit. This Vikings team, Kirk's playing like an MVP right now. Thielen and Jefferson look stellar. I think they're going to be able to get whatever they want. And the same side, I think San Francisco is going to be able to get theirs. I mean, I looked at the Packers last week, and although they lost, they did anything they wanted against that Vikings defense. Not to mention, they don't think they're going to have Everson Griffin this week. I hope he's safe and okay, but that's another significant loss to that defense. I think this total's a little bit too low for a Vikings offense that's stellar and for a Niners offense that I don't see why they can't do everything that they want to do.
Yeah, I think that's really excellent points there. It's also under the key total number 48, which is important. I agree. I think I'd agree with the lean the Vikings. Just to kind of present the other side, James leans the Niners. He goes, tough game. Both teams playing very well right now. He trusts the Niners a little more. Shanahan has done well against the Vikings in his career. Elijah Mitchell is questionable to play. If he does play, it's a huge boost for the 49ers. And he says that Brandon Ayuk resurgence has been nice and is crediting an uptick in Niners offensive output to that. I don't think the Niners have gotten that much better since the start of the year. And I love your point about the Vikings passing attack versus 49ers secondary. Excuse me, it's 48.5. I misspoke.
I'm saying 49. I still like it. If it's under 50, okay. I think it's
Yeah. Play. It's my one worry here is it's just the clock's going to be running the whole time. And when that happens, especially late in the game, you don't necessarily get as many fourth quarter points that you might need to push a game over the total. Yep. So that does worry me a little bit here. I think +3, +105 is what I'm looking at here. That feels pretty good, Ben. I don't necessarily see the Niners blowing out the Vikings. I don't know. Don't have much here, but I do lean Vikings plus three. And I'm going to bet that over too. That's good luck. Moving on to Rams at the Packers, where the game is a pick and the total is 48. I have a like on the Rams here.
Let me give you a weather report.
Give me
37 degrees, 16 mile per hour winds.
Ooh,
that's a little chilly.
Interesting. It is a little chilly. Might affect someone dealing with some injuries. You know, maybe cold feet, might have to chop a toe off. But
COVID toe.
That's that dude. He is something. I really like the Rams here. I think this is a terrible spot for the Packers. Aaron Rodgers continues to be a distraction off the field, and I do think that at some point, I'm interested if he's just playing like a long con just to make sure that he is out of Green Bay as soon as he can get. I haven't really heard anyone say that, but
it does seem like he's doing that.
I think he just might be a weirdo, but if he goes to Denver, and Denver would be the perfect spot for him, but whatever team he goes to, and he's just like the most normal person of all time, then that will be very, very funny. But I really like the Rams here. I think this is an awful, awful spot for the Packers. Elgton Jenkins, their best active O-lineman, is out for the year. They're going to be down two other starting O-linemen. After last week's, I think that was a little bit of a depressing loss that could carry over onto this week. And last week showed just how bad their defense really is, especially without Za'Darius Smith, without Jair Alexander, and everything. And I think Rashawn Gary might not also play, who his loss was felt very, very much last week. And this is just a great buy low spot on the Rams, I think. While I don't necessarily think we see the same sort of offensive output that we saw at the beginning of the year, just due to weather and just, no Robert Woods, things of that nature. I think a week to get Odell Beckham incorporated off the bye, and just to kind of, I think having a late bye coming off that bye is like a huge boost, just because, you start to get a little fatigued just from the wear and tear of the season. And having it, I think we might see a slam dunk effort from the Rams. James makes a good point here. Stafford familiarity in Green Bay. I actually think that does mean something. And so I'm not super worried there. And I don't know who's going to guard Cooper Kupp. Let alone Odell, or let alone stop the run. I think that the Rams are going to have an offensive explosion here. And I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers is going to be able to do enough to kind of to score with the Rams. And, you're going to be sticking Jalen Ramsey on Devontae Adams. And I don't think there's a man on this earth you can shut down Devontae Adams, but I certainly think Ramsey can slow him down. So that will be something to watch for. Any thoughts?
Jair Alexander still hurt?
Yeah, he's not. If he comes back, it's not going to be back for a while.
Okay. Yeah, because you're right. I don't know who stops Kupp. I was trying to look up Stafford at Lambeau Field success because – has he really had success at Lambeau Field?
He was on the Lions.
Yeah, I know. So, Mike, look, I hear that point, but the only it's still a Southern California team traveling in 37-degree weather and 17-mile-per-hour winds. It's still definitely an advantage for Green Bay here. I think this is just an interesting handicap. I think this is going to be an awesome game. I do think Rams are the side. I want to take it, but it's tough for me to back Stafford right now. I'm glad they're coming off a bye. I think that's tremendous for Odell, as you said, but also for Von Miller. Just another week for getting that offense, but it's another week for Stafford because I feel like Stafford must be hurt or something because the last 2 weeks he has played so poorly. And if he is hurt, it'll give him an extra week. And if he's fully healthy, this number just feels short. I don't understand how it can be a pick here. Especially when you have a Packers team that is very injured, as Jazz has demonstrated how many guys are hurt, and then including Aaron Rodgers, who won't stop talking about his toe injury. I'm I'm on the Rams side, but I can't really bet it because like I look at, I mean, the Vikings receivers were able to take advantage of this Packers team, but that's because they have multiple receiver looks. So it's really going to be a matter of will Odell is a second receiver and a second option going to step up in this Rams offense? Because if Odell is able to take up that Robert Woods role, then yeah, probably. But if they had Robert Woods in this spot instead, I'd feel a lot more confident backing the Rams. It's going to be a pass for me. I think it'll be a really good game, though.
I think even going down to the third receiver, though, like Van Jefferson's pretty solid. Like he's not some game-breaking player like Odell can be or that Robert Woods is. But I do think that, like, you know, he's not necessarily chopped liver, and I do think that they're like a fairly deep there. And this really just comes down to Packers are going to be down 3 of 5 starting offensive linemen. And like, are we just assuming that Bakhtiari isn't going to come back at this point? I know he's been like slowly building up to game speed, but there's still talk that he might miss like the full season. So I don't know how, like if we are going to get him. So it doesn't really feel like reinforcements are coming, and you got Aaron Donald and you got Von Miller and Leonard Floyd, and it's just a talented Rams.
And they're all well rested. And they're all
defensive front.
All well rested, all coming in off a 2-game losing streak. So I mean this is gonna be a focused week for them. I mean I'm with you. The Rams are the side.
Really quick, James says Rodgers dealing with some toe injury, buying very low on Rams, back to back primetime losses in dominating fashion. Extra week, Sean McVay has an extra week prep for Green Bay. McVay is very good off buys. And he says Stafford familiarity in Green Bay should help in a cold weather game. Yeah, pretty much covered that. The Browns at the Ravens. The Ravens are laying 3.5. This is Monday night. Total is 45.5. I have no idea what to think of this game.
I got to play, I think.
Oh, interesting. Oh, wait, I skipped one.
I don't think so.
Did we talk Seattle, Washington?
That's Monday night.
Oh, is this Sunday night?
Yep.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, let's hear it. What do you got?
I'm going to take the Browns. I'm going to take the Browns 3.5. You know, it's tough. I really don't know what to make of this Browns team, especially with Baker. He's clearly hurt. He also appears to be losing some support from, looks like, teammates. There's question marks regarding his contract issues. But they're still fighting for a playoff spot, and they're still a solid team. And I look at this Ravens team, and I just think their defense is really bad. The Browns should be able to beat them on the run and in the pass. And also this Ravens offensive line is really struggling. Last week, an injured Bears team. I mean, we talked about how many injuries the Bears have. They sacked Tyler Huntley 6 times in that game. So I think the Browns defensive line is going to have a real advantage in this game. Not to mention their offense is getting some support. Kareem Hunt should be back. Jack Conklin should be back.
I don't think Kareem Hunt's playing.
Ah, shit. I mean, that is significant.
Keep talking. I'll check to make sure, but I think okay. He's going to remain on my bench for fantasy this week.
Man. Well, either way, like, we saw what these two teams did last year where Lamar had the shits mid-game and the game was absolutely wild and went down to the very end. And I just think that this is a field goal game. I think this is a division game where these two teams are going to play each other very tight. I'm not really impressed with this Ravens team and this Ravens offense. I don't know what's wrong with Lamar. I assume he'll be back 100%, but if he is or he isn't, I'm not expecting him to just blow out the Browns here. I think getting over a field goal is pretty valuable.
I have an amendment to make. So it's looking like the Browns are going to activate Kareem Hunt this week, with Kevin Stefanski saying he hopes Hunt will be good to go for Sunday. So there you go.
I got a quote here. It says, yeah, I'll see how I feel during the week, but I'm definitely going to play. So there we
go. Hell yeah.
Kareem Hunt's in.
Evan, you are going down, my friend.
I like that.
Just kidding. He ain't starting on my roster. It's really just, I don't think that the Browns are necessarily as bad as they looked last week. And I do lean Browns. 3.5 is too much. It'd give me the hook all day there. And I think the Ravens defense, like you said, is just not good and not Ravens-like. So are we sure Lamar's going to play?
I mean, what the report I heard was they'd be shocked if he didn't play. So, and I don't even see him on the injury report. Wait. I don't know. Bad radio.
Did they ever say what he had? I'm very curious.
Because it's illness. Not
COVID.
All I saw was illness. He's not even on the injury report, so he's got to be in. He's fine. I don't know. He's fine.
Should be interesting. And, I mean, the Browns' defense has slowly been getting healthier, too. So true. Maybe they are able to kind of dominate up front, and it trickles down to, you know, pressure of Lamar, where he has to do superhero things to keep them in the game. And we already saw Miami win just by dominating up front, and their defensive line is nothing to write home about. So that's Sunday Night Football. James says the Browns are in disarray. Baker looks like shit, and he doesn't trust the Ravens right now either. He does lean Ravens, but ultimately it is a pass for him. Monday night we go Seattle at Washington, where the football team is laying one of the total. Pull it up.
46.5.
46.5. I have a like on this game. I like the over here. I think the Washington football team defense has kind of been playing up a little bit, and I think that this is just where they come down to earth. No Chase Young. The defensive front is still severely banged up. And I think we just see Russell Wilson start to settle in last week. I do think he looked a little bit better last week, despite the final score. But that was, oh boy, losing to Colt McCoy is not what you want to do in your second week back. Seattle, I mean, we bet them to win the NFC a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, I think it's dead.
Probably. They're just going to need to try and sneak in as best they can. That NFC 7 seed is certainly interesting, but they got to win out. I just don't think that Washington is going to be able to hang with the Seattle receivers, especially as Russell kind of finds his rhythm again. And then I think the Washington offense overall is pretty solid. And then the Seattle defenses. Once again, they let Colt McCoy move the ball all over them yesterday. So I think 46.5 is way too low. I think they should be at 48.5, just over 48. What do you think?
You know, I don't hate that play. I just can't get behind Seattle at all. I mean, if you just take what we originally think of Seattle coming into the year, just if you take that away, like this Seattle team right now they're in line for the fifth pick in the draft. They're the second worst team in the NFC. This offense looks awful. I mean, look, Russ maybe looked better last week, but I mean, they only put up 260 yards of offense. They lost the time of possession battle 40-20. I just can't get in front of the Seattle team at all. I made the proclamation last week that Washington was going to make the playoffs. So Washington's got to win this game for that to happen. I can't back Seattle. I'm going to lean Washington's way.
Yeah. James says, I was thinking lean Seattle. I just think we're going to get a good performance soon. James says people throwing Seattle out too soon. Remaining schedule is easy and still a chance they can sneak in. Russell looks slightly better last week, ? An embarrassing loss for Seattle. Football team or maybe just Ron are going to be hungover after his revenge game. He leans over too. And then he does have a little turkey parlay. He likes Jets money line, Titans money line, and Rams money line. Okay, so that's just three games that aren't on Thanksgiving. But, yeah.
Why don't we go over all of our likes?
Yes, good call. So for me, I've got my best bet is Bucks -3. I love the Steelers getting 4.5. I'm going to be betting them on the money line too. The Rams had a pick, Seattle, Washington over 46.5, and Panthers -2.5. Austin, what are your likes for this week?
My best bet, the sexy little Lions pick. I got the Vikings 49ers over. I bet the team total, Saints team total under, took the Bucks, and again, I said, fuck it, Falcons, as my fifth like.
James has Bills -6, Raiders, Cowboys under 50.5, the Titans +6.5. I do believe he likes the money line there, too. And then Bucks -3, Panthers -2, and he also says that he bet Falcons, Jags, under 47, Chargers minus 2.5, Jets plus 3, and Lions plus 3.5. That man is going to have some action this week.
Yeah, busy
you
week.
You know he's been volume shooting college basketball and college football too. I love
Any other bets from us? I had Tony Pollard rushing props, David Montgomery rushing yards. I think that's it for me.
Yeah, I didn't really talk myself into too much. Ooh, you had a total. The Vikings Niners over, I do like. Yeah. That one you definitely talked me into. The Egg Bowl will be playing on Thanksgiving. It's a college football game. I don't know, just because James is traveling right now. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to a college football pod. If we do, I'll be sure to hit on. So this is its best. I mean, last week was actually incredible, but actually last week was very disappointing. I mean, you don't really follow college football, nor I don't really know if you watch it too closely, but there's like a bunch of top 10, top 25 games, and there's only like two close games. There's just blowouts.
I did see that Ohio State game. That was something else.
Well, you picked the best one to watch. But Mississippi State, I think, is just going to be a little undervalued. I think they're a good side to look at Thanksgiving night. And that game is something absolutely stupid is going to happen. Like a couple years ago, we had a player celebrated. First of all, he celebrated a touchdown. It was the game-winning touchdown. Sorry, like the game. It should have been the game-tying touchdown.
Uh-huh. I remember
this. He celebrates. He's like a dog. And then they get a 15-yard unsportsmanlike on the extra point, and I think it went off the crossbar.
Oh, I remember that.
The post.
That's hilarious.
A bunch of weird stuff. It's always a fun game. Expect some points, too. If you need something to sweat, well, before the San Diego State basketball game starts, I would go just Mississippi State in the over. It could be a little fun one. That's it. You got anything else? Hey, you love college basketball. You got any early college basketball takes?
Besides San Diego State being the best team in the country?
Let's slow down a little bit.
No, I will say that Gonzaga team is very, very impressive, and I sure hope that someone takes them down because it looks like they're going to reign over college basketball again.
I sure hope so. For the Sharpside Podcast, don't forget, follow us on Twitter, at the Sharpside Pod. Download Bestbits if you haven't already. Follow our page on there.
And shout out Greg.
Shout out Greg, of course. Micah, my boy Micah, he's in the DMs often. Hope you enjoyed, Micah. Hope you're winning a couple bets this weekend as well. Apple Podcasts, review and subscribe. Please send us up the charts. And then finally, we're gonna try to get into what's the app called again, Austin?
ColorCast. Yeah, we should have said it at the beginning. App called ColorCast where you can live commentate games, and I don't know if we'll necessarily be doing that, but there is going to be a betting show that they're going to have on there, and then we think they're going to give us an opportunity to be a part of it, and then we'll just give out all of our best picks, best bets on that. Might even have some college football, college basketball plays in there. It should just be a weekly show once a week. That could be pretty good.
Yeah, and I think that it'll. I don't expect it to be too long either. Maybe just a couple things we missed. Like Saturday morning or Sunday morning. I guess they could do Saturday morning too. And, you know, just a couple bets that we might be looking at or just, you know, any big takeaways. And if you guys have questions, you guys can hop on the line too and fire some at us if you'd like. They got this thing, it's the hot seat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Anyways, so be on the lookout there. Follow our Twitter to get further notifications for that. But for the Sharpside Podcast, thank you guys for listening. We greatly appreciate it. A great week. Enjoy it. And I hope you win all of your bets. But Austin, this weekend, what are we going to do?
Let's go win some money.
Let's do it.
Happy Thanksgiving.